turn to 1 Corinthians 10, verses 16 and 17. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. And then chapter 11, verses 23 through 26, we'll read. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." These words from 1 Corinthians 10 and 1 Corinthians 11 are very familiar, especially the ones from 1 Corinthians 11, where the Apostle Paul records and reiterates the institution of the Lord's Supper. In those words, he says, repeating the words of Jesus, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this for the remembrance of me, or as my memorial." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, as my memorial." What is memorial? We think we know because we have our ideas of what a memorial is. We have memorial stones. We have memorial days. The word memorial here is more than mere mental or cognitive recall. Much more. Mental recall, or even setting up a stone like marking a place where soldiers died or the Civil War memorial down at Point Lookout, those are important and good, but the word here means more than even that. The word in Greek is anamnesis. We have the word amnesia, and this adds a prefix to it, anamnesia. Anamnesis. It's not to forget, but to remember, to recall, and yet it's more than just mere cognitive mental recall. The word here in this biblical sense means to activate the past, to energize and activate something that happened in the past so that it is a present experience in its real effects, so that the results of Christ's death as a sacrifice are communicated to you. What are they? Forgiveness. Union with him in his perfect obedience so that you perfectly obey. Membership in the redeemed people through faith, which is then in turn nourished by the Lord's Supper and sustained by participating in the Lord's Supper. It's so hard to illustrate this, but I'm going to try a couple of figures to help us understand this. My brand new son-in-law and his father and brothers sometimes take part in these Civil War reenactments. They go to some place like Gettysburg or Antietam, and they set up their camps. They wear their Civil War uniforms. They set up the camps exactly where the camps were set up according to the records. And they get in positions on the battlefield just as the journals of the soldiers and the commanders said they were. They load their weapons, but without shot. They load their cannons, but without cannonballs. And when the battle ensues, the reenactment, they come running across the field, shooting and yelling and everything, and some of them play dead and fall on the field. And these are indeed dramatic remembrances of something in the past. And I'm sure that for those who reenact these battles, theirs is a much deeper experience of the battle than just reading about it in a book. But no one actually dies in these reenactments. No battle is won or lost. It is a dramatic memorial, but it does not affect the present. So this is something less than the biblical idea of anamnesis. Another way of trying to wrap our minds around this word comes to fruition when I think about a testimony I heard once of a wife, a widow, whose husband died in a tragic accident. And at times her grief was so overwhelming that she would just go into his closet and hug bundles of his shirts and suits. In her testimony, she told how it seemed almost as if he was present there with her when she smelled the scent of his body on those clothes. And it brought flooding into her mind memories of times they had together, mingled with joy and sadness and longing. That's much closer to the biblical idea of anamnesis. This memorial, ordained by Jesus, is even more dynamic than that, because he is not absent. Different churches will talk about whether they believe in the real presence of Christ and how they believe in the real presence of Christ in the Lord's Supper. But I want to tell you this, we do not believe in the real absence of Christ. We believe he is here. He comes to his memorial. He attends it through the Holy Spirit. And in this memorial, he himself is present to transcend the more than 2,000 years since his death and to make his sacrifice a present experience for you and me. In its effects, it communicates to us forgiveness of our sins. It communicates to us our union with him in his perfect obedience, which we have not done ourselves. And it communicates to us membership in his redeemed people. What a dramatic representation and splendid memorial is this supper. The one memorialized is present. Anamnesis looks back, but it also looks forward. Jesus said, "Do this in memory of me." These words must be viewed in their Passover setting. That's why we read the Passover. It was the belief of the Jews that the Passover itself was not only a looking back at what God had done in Israel, but also a looking forward to the future deliverance by the Messiah. It was a common saying among the rabbis that on this night they were saved, and on this night they will be saved. That, according to Rabbi Joshua ben Hananiah, in his commentary on Exodus 12:42. And that same sentiment is echoed in the Midrash about the Passover. The Midrash says, "On that same day too, Joseph was released from captivity. For this reason, the night becoming of one rejoicing for the whole Israel. It says it was a night of watching unto the Lord, and the world of miracle was performed at night because it was of a transitory nature, but in the Messianic age, night will become day. So we have Passover at night, and we have Jesus instituting his supper at night, on the night in which he was betrayed, the night of Passover. It looks forward to the day of the Messianic future. The Midrash goes on to say, God saved Hezekiah, Hananiah, and his companions, and on that night, Messiah and Elijah will be made great. So Israel has eagerly awaited salvation since the rising of Edom. God said, let this sign be in your hands. On the day when I wrought salvation for you, on that very night, know that I will redeem you. What is the Midrash saying? It's saying that God is promising to save on the same night that he saved originally at the Passover. And that's what he does when Jesus institutes his supper on the Passover. So the memorial, the anamnesis of the Passover was looking backward to redemption and also forward to a greater redemption, the coming of Messiah. And Jesus took that moment, that Passover, and that celebration to look forward still yet to another coming. Listen to Paul's explanatory words at the end of the institution. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This anamnesis, this Passover, looks forward to the future coming, the future consummation of the salvation wrought by Jesus Christ. In summary, anamnesis recalls and activates the past so that it is the present experience and its real effects, so that the results of Christ's death as a sacrifice are communicated to you by the living Lord who is present at this memorial. And anamnesis looks forward to the consummation when Christ will return and make all things right. This is a very important meal. This is the heart of the gospel. But there's more here even than anamnesis. There's also participation. Participation. Again, we read these words in 1 Corinthians 10 and we wonder at them. We don't understand what they mean. When Paul says, or he asks the question really, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? What does he mean by participation? There are two kinds of participation portrayed here. Personal and corporate participation. Personal participation takes place when you taste the bread and when you drink the wine and make present the fact that God, who took on human flesh, was really torn in sacrifice to save you, and that his real human blood was poured out in sacrifice to provide you with a cup of salvation. That is personal. When you participate by faith, you really participate in the body and blood of Christ. That is what the Apostle Paul is teaching. These elements of bread and wine combined with faith are attended by Jesus, who is not absent but is present, and they become a means of grace. They become a feeding on the sacrifice of Christ. When you eat and drink these elements, union with him in his death and all its benefits is dramatically represented and made real. And you are taught that you personally, get this, you personally died with Christ when he died on that cross. you personally rose with Christ. You ascended with Christ and are seated with Christ, and you will reign with Christ when He comes. That indeed is personal, very personal. I hope you get the gist of this, the meaning of this. Somehow, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ communicates Himself to us when we participate in this way by faith. But then there's also another dimension to participation, one that we dare not forget. That is corporate participation. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:17, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. You remember in eating that Christ came to save a world of lost sinners, not just you personally, but a whole world. His design has always been for the blessing of all nations, for the ingathering of all the world. You find yourself part of His church, eating and drinking in the company of those who are redeemed, the body of Christ, they are called. And they are reconciled to Him by His death, and therefore they are reconciled to one another. And now Paul goes on, and I'll explain this in another sermon sometime more carefully. He goes on to say that we must examine ourselves to see that we are living in love with one another. Why? Because if we are not living in love and forgiveness toward one another, we are preaching an ungospel, a gospel of no reconciliation, no peace. But when we understand and participate in corporate worship, with the Lord's Supper, we proclaim reconciliation, the reconciliation that God is bringing to all the world through the death of Christ. So you are a participant in the benefits of the sacrifice of Christ, including membership in His body, the universal church that is extending to all nations, the church that transcends time. And when things are done as they should be done, this leads you to pledge loyalty to a local expression of the church, where His worship is maintained in word and sacrament and prayer and in fellowship. That is the fullness of participation. My friends, there is so much more to teach and tell about the Lord's Supper. We will be opening up the meaning of the Lord's Supper in future celebrations. But I hope today you will see the rich meaning of memorial. More than just cognitive recall, but a real effect, a real bringing into the present, the past. And you will see the profound joy of participating, of eating that bread and drinking that cup and saying, "You died for me. You shed your blood for me," and participating corporately. You are reconciling people to yourself in one body, the church of Jesus Christ. Let us prepare to worship God in the Lord's Supper. Let us pray. We do not presume to come to this Your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in Your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under Your table, but You are the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of Your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink His blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by His body, and our souls washed through His most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in Him, and He in us, proclaiming His death until He returns for our complete and final salvation. Amen.